Now, on Monday's episode, we broke down what I really liked and some of my biggest takeaways from the LSU spring game, but really just highlighted that continuing, ongoing conversation of the quarterback battle. And of course, John Emery kind of stealing this show, John Emery leading the rest of this running back core that looked really impressive in the spring game on Saturday. But what were my other takeaways and other position groups, offensive line, defensive line, corners? I'll break that down, my thoughts on the rest of the spring game on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. So whatever your preferred podcast platform might be, you can absolutely check us out there. You can also watch us on YouTube as well. Throw it on your TV, throw it on your smartphone, whatever that might be. You can check us out on YouTube. So make sure to subscribe to Locked On LSU on YouTube so you'll get notified as soon as those episodes drop. My name is Caroline Fenton, and I am your host, as I am every single day. You can follow me on Twitter at CarolineFenton1. I'm an LSU alum, diehard LSU sports fan, and I'm now a sports talk radio host in Nashville, Tennessee for ESPN 1025 The Game. You can also follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On LSU. I'll post links to the podcast, podcast updates, kind of my takes on LSU sports here and there. So make sure to interact with us on Twitter and on YouTube as well, Locked On LSU. But continuing to recap the spring game from Saturday, and on Monday's episode, if you missed it, you can go back and watch it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, whatever that might be. But I broke down the most glaring storyline from the spring game, and that was this quarterback competition. The fact that we went into the spring game, I did, you did probably, and I know for certain Brian Kelly and the rest of this LSU coaching staff went into the spring game hoping to find some clarity about who the starter will be against Florida State come September 4th. A little bit of clarity of, okay, well, the legitimate candidates for a starter start to emerge in the spring game, and then the rest kind of fall back, and we can get a clearer road moving forward. And we actually got the opposite, because the road looks much more confusing and much more difficult. The road to deciding who will be the starting quarterback got so much more difficult. And I actually admittedly was coming into this podcast today fully prepared to name my starter based off of what I saw in the spring game to kind of say, you know, today on Tuesday, April 26th, this is who my choice for a starting quarterback would be. But the more and more I thought about it, the more and more I thought, that is so irresponsible. The more and more I thought, okay, that's just not fair. Because I could name my starter today and run with it and then, you know, change it from there. But I think coming out of the spring game, there is a starter, or there is a quarterback that I probably would feel most comfortable about, you know, being the starter moving forward. But today's April 26th. I don't think that's necessarily fair to do that, because the person that I thought was, that I thought looked the best on Saturday, of course, was going to look the best on Saturday, because that quarterback has the most experience. That quarterback has been in the offense the longest. That quarterback looked the most comfortable and confident and kind of just looked like he should have the starting job, because it's a job that he's had before. We still have a lot of time before the first game in September against Florida State. Of course, Jaden Daniels looked a little bit shaky in the first half whenever he was taking first team reps, because that was the first time that he took first team reps in a game setting. Of course, Garrett Nussmeier wasn't incredibly accurate because he doesn't have as much experience. You know, the more and more I thought about it, the more and more I thought it's silly and it's stupid to name my starting quarterback today. And I also want this to be a message to you listening, because I've already seen it on Twitter. I've already seen it on the YouTube page, people commenting, you know, X, XYZ is going to be quarterback. This person should be quarterback because of what we saw in the spring game. And I think that's a little ridiculous to go ahead and jump to conclusions about who we think the starting quarterback should be after the spring game. I think the spring game is there to give us glimpses of who's looking like they can win a position battle. But whenever you don't get a clear answer there, then how can you jump to a clear conclusion? It's not fair to the team. It's not fair to the quarterbacks competing for that position. And I really don't think it's fair to yourself as an LSU fan to be married to one certain quarterback over another just because of what you've seen, really, essentially, day one. You know, as fans, this was the first day that we really got to see these quarterbacks. This was the first time that we've gotten to see a game setting. You know, as fans, we haven't been able to be in practice. Of course, it's open to the media, and we can read the articles, and we can listen to the podcast, and I appreciate all of the y'all who do. But we really haven't gotten to see a lot from most of these guys. So I think that my biggest warning here is don't jump to any sort of conclusions, and don't do that to yourself to say that, you know, you are going to be naming a starter in April, because a lot can change. We've already seen a lot of growth and development, not just from quarterbacks, but from players from several different positions. They put on weight, they get in the training room, they get in the weight room, they put on muscle, they get used to this offense, they, you know, kind of become indoctrinated into this new coaching staff. Things change in, how many months are we away from this now? Math is hard. 4 or 5 months? A lot can change in that time. Brian Kelly, Mike Denbrock said they're not rushing to name a starting quarterback. So I thought to myself, why am I rushing to name a starting quarterback just based off of, you know, a few snaps in a spring game? I am so incredibly excited and giddy to find out who is going to be taking snaps under center for LSU this year. And what we've learned from Brian Kelly, what we broke down from his post-spring game press conference, is it's not going to be a 2-QB system. He's not using 2 quarterbacks. There will be a starting quarterback named, and there will be a backup quarterback. And of course, that quarterback battle will continue to unravel through the, and I guess unravel isn't the right word, but it'll continue to persist throughout the season because, you know, your job is never solidified in the game of football. So, you know, they'll continue to be a quarterback battle throughout the season. But I know I am, and I know you are probably too, just ready to know, like, what this team is going to look like, who's going to be the starter, what can we expect. But I think that you're doing yourself a disservice, and I realized I was doing myself a disservice as well. I think we all know who looked like the best quarterback out there. But I think we also have to take glimpses of, you know, at what other quarterbacks were able to do. They each have their own strengths. Jaden Daniels is so incredibly impressive on his feet. You know, Garrett Nussmeier, while inaccurate at times, can make really risky throws. Miles Brennan looks very comfortable and confident in the pocket and can complete passes. All of those things are important attributes of a quarterback. So I'm not going to get married to one right now. And I don't think that you should either. But coming up next, hey, it's not just about a quarterback battle. I've been, you know, gabbing on and on and on about these quarterbacks that I'm ready to talk about other things that I saw on Saturday. What I saw that was good, what I saw that was bad, individual players that I think looked great, position groups that I think could, you know, use some work, position groups that I think look great as well. We'll break all of that down coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about how I've been using AG1 almost every single morning because I try to get my day started very early, but I get that like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock slump in the middle of the day, and I need more energy. And I hated bringing, you know, coffee with me or taking pills or supplements in order to boost my energy throughout the day. And honestly, my iced coffee habit has just gotten way too expensive. But with AG1, it will boost your energy. It's great for digestion if you've been dealing with some gut health. It's incredibly healthy, but it doesn't taste super healthy. I know you know what I'm saying. You know, whenever something tastes like it's a green juice, you don't necessarily love that. But AG1 has 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day and continue your day Right. Like I said, my iced coffee habit was just way too expensive. But AG1 costs you less than $3 a day. And it's not just an investment, you know, in itself, but it's also an investment in yourself, in your health. And it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. It's cheaper than getting all of your different supplements and popping all these different vitamins and pills. Plus, Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. It's recommended by professional athletes, by leading health experts, so it's good for you. And I know I can be a testimony to it. And there are several other professionals who can as well. So right now, it's your time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/college. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/college to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. And thanks for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Now, a very big announcement because it's NFL Draft Week. For the first time ever, Locked On is hosting live coverage of the 2022 NFL Draft from our studios in Dallas with pick-by-pick analysis from our local team experts and draft gurus. Tune in all 3 days as our draft team guides you through every pick and every trade in real time. It all starts on Thursday, April 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern, available on Locked On NFL Draft and on YouTube and on the Odyssey app. Well, breaking down some of the rest of my takeaways from the LSU spring game on Saturday, because while the most glaring storyline was the quarterbacks, there was a lot of other good stuff that I saw on Saturday as well. I mentioned John Emery Jr., Armani Goodwin, kind of stole the show on Saturday for me. But what looked good? First and foremost, you know, while we're on the topic of the offense, the quarterbacks and the running backs looked, you know, quarterbacks, of course, running backs looked great. I think another glaring thing that I saw on Saturday was this wide receiver position is, you know, it's in good shape. I think Jack Besh really just, you know, was the exclamation point on the day. And I don't think that's necessarily a shock to anyone based off of what we saw Jack Besh that was able to do last year, kind of emerged as Max Johnson's number one favorite target after Kayshon Boutte went down with an injury last year. But I think that one thing that has kind of been in my mind was, can Jack Besh really take on a full pass-catching wide receiver role? Of course, coming into LSU as a true tight end. And then we kind of saw that role evolve into more of a pass-catching role. So I thought, can he really take on the load of being a true, pure pass catcher at the wide receiver position? And I think on Saturday, that really showed us that. And Brian Kelly was asked about Jack Besh post-game, post-spring game, that is. And he said he means he's just a gamer. That was the word that he used. That no matter what day, what time it is, whenever it's game time and, it, you know, you put those pads on and you're in front of a crowd, he's going to turn it on and he's going to be a playmaker. Now, Kayshon Boutte was not out there in the spring game on Saturday, but I think that Jack Besh really emerged as being that perfect complement to Kayshon Boutte. And now whoever will be lining up under center will have a wide array of pass catchers at their disposal. So I think Jack Besh really shined the most out of that group. But I mean, that wide receiver group is so stacked, so deep, and is incredibly talented. So the wide receiver position, to me, I think is locked up and looks really good. And I think that we all have some, you know, something to look forward to in that position as well. And while we're on the topic of offense as well, I want to look at the offensive line, because the offensive line needs work. We've been into this season knowing that. I mean, this offensive line was just blown up in the offseason. I mean, LSU losing starters at the offensive line, not just to the NFL draft, but the transfer portal as well. So I was curious to see how they were going to kind of plug players in. And are you going to move a swing tackle over to guard and vice versa? And who's lining up at center? So the offensive line needs work. The defensive line was disruptive, especially in the first half. I mean, it was, you know, 5 sacks in the first 15, 20 snaps of the spring game. So, I mean, that's a testament to the defensive line as well, which is something that I want to touch on. But I think it's also, this offensive line needs to work on pass protection. This offensive line was incredibly porous. And especially for quarterbacks that were lining up under center, taking first and second team snaps, that didn't have that kind of comfort and confidence that Miles Brennan may have, just having that experience as an LSU quarterback. They're going to need an offensive line that can pass block. They're going to need an offensive line that quarterback knows that, okay, this line has got me. And I don't think that I got that from Saturday's spring game. The offensive line does need work. But on the other side of that, I think Will Campbell was outstanding on Saturday. I discussed it with John Garcia last week about, you know, Will Campbell is a five-star recruit. You know, he is a career left tackle. He's an early enrollee at LSU. He's fully committed to LSU and is a really talented left tackle. However, that is the most premier, the most important position on the offensive line. Guarding that blind side of the quarterback is so incredibly important. Can a true freshman, one, do it? You know, is he going to be able to have the size and the strength and the power to go up against SEC caliber defensive linemen and protect that blind side of his quarterback? Two, is he going to be able to handle it? That's a really big responsibility coming into college football for your first season with no college football experience. And three, is this like going to be, you know, a seniority thing? As much as I hate to admit it, politics play a role into this. So can Will Campbell, as a true freshman, step in and fill in that left tackle role? I would love to say that, you know, it's the best player out there that gets the job. I do think that that's the way that things operate most of the time. I don't think that's how it operates all of the time. But I think Will Campbell, we saw him take the majority of the first team reps left tackle, and he did a damn good job of it. I mean, he limited BJ Ojulari for a majority of that game. He was able to, you know, keep that left side under control and under wraps. So I think that Will Campbell carried himself not like an early enrollee that was just in high school just a few short months ago. Will Campbell looked like he had the size. Will Campbell looked like he had the command over that left tackle position. So, I mean, he took majority of the first team reps, and I really would not be surprised if Will Campbell, come game one against Florida State, is in that left tackle position and continues to keep it throughout the season. That was the most shining star of the offensive line. Of course, I think it needs a lot more work. I don't know if that's coming from just, you know, an understanding of the offense. Is that coming from just sheer size and strength? Is that something they need to build up in the offseason and continue to look at? But, I mean, Brian Kelly even said it. The offense started really slow. The offense came in with a mentality that, you know, they weren't necessarily ready. The defense now came out swinging. I mean, there were sacks and they were pressuring the quarterback early on. And I think that offense needed a little bit of a wake-up call. They need their athletic greens to get their energy going and to, you know, kind of wake them up a little bit. And that was concerning to me, the slow offensive start. But that's the reason why you play these spring games, is to kind of figure out what you need to work on so you don't get those slow starts in the games that actually, you know, go on your record and games that actually matter. But I do think that Will Campbell would be, you know, if he's the constant and if he's the anchor in this offensive line, first of all, I mega props to him. If he is able to do that as a true freshman, that's huge. But if that's the constant in this offensive line, what I saw in the spring game, I'm cool with it. And you may be saying to yourself, okay, well, you know, Will Campbell could be going up against, you know, true freshman defensive linemen, could be going up against second team offensive linemen. Went up against the first team defense. That's how it went, was first team offense, first team defense, second team offense, second team defense, back and forth. And I mean, the defensive line wasn't holding anything back. The defense as a whole wasn't holding anything back. I think there were a few instances in the spring game that I was like, okay, all right, that's enough. All right, easy now. No, it is just the spring game. We don't need to, you know, come for their ankles. But Mason Smith, for example, I mean, Mason Smith on the defensive line is a very bad man. And I think that we're going to see a lot of him moving forward. And paired up, of course, with BJ Ojulari, I think that duo of a pass rush, those two in particular, I think are going to be incredibly disruptive. I was very encouraged from what I saw from the defensive line. Now, on the other hand, I wasn't, you know, doing cartwheels over what I saw from the corners. And I think we already knew that going into the spring game. You know, adding Seven Banks into the mix as well. Jarque Bernard Converse wasn't out there on Saturday. He's dealing with a little bit of an injury there. So I know more to come from the corners. Wasn't totally thrilled from what I saw. I think they got burned from most part from the wide receivers. But I think that I look at it from this standpoint of, you know, your cornerback room is what it is. You know, you got another transfer to add some depth and to add some experience into the cornerback room there. But the way this defensive line looks, if they're able to get to the quarterback like they were on Saturday, and if they're able to put the same kind of pressure and even continue to just get at the quarterback and continue to be these offensive linemen, then the defensive linemen are doing a majority of the job that the corners would have to do. I mean, get to the quarterback, and the corners can sit back pretty. So those were my biggest takeaways from Saturday outside of the quarterback battle. Running backs looked great. John Emery Jr. looked great. Armani Goodwin looked great. Jack Besh gets my Golden Star Blue Ribbon trophy of the day in terms of the wide receivers. Offensive line needs help. Offensive line needs work. They need to protect the quarterback a little bit more. But Will Campbell, I mean, I even said on Thursday and Friday that that's what I would be looking at moving forward is Will Campbell. Can he handle this left tackle position? And I think on Saturday it really proved that he absolutely could. The defensive line, I mean, bad men on that defensive line. And I think that they will be giving plenty of quarterbacks plenty of trouble come the fall. But coming up next, we understand that we are in this new era of LSU football under the Brian Kelly regime. I think we have our own thoughts about the direction of the way that LSU football is going. But what do the national analysts think about the Brian Kelly hire and the way that things have started to unfold in the spring? I want to get into that coming up next. But before I do that, I want to tell you about betonline.net. BetOnline is your number one source for all of your betting stats and sports information. So I was looking at BetOnline the other day, and I did see that CJ Stroud currently has the best odds for Heisman futures, which I thought was pretty interesting. So CJ Stroud with the best odds there. And if you think that that's, you know, a good bet, check it out on BetOnline. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. But, I mean, understand that, you know, we're in this new era. And, I know, I've talked at length about how I feel the way that things are going. We also had Dylan Sanders come on the show and give his first kind of perceptions of the Brian Kelly era and the way that things have been going in spring practice. And I think that we've all kind of come to the same conclusion that, you know, the label that Brian Kelly has been given as like the CEO of practice, that things are incredibly organized, things are incredibly regimented, and that's just a change from what we've seen from things in the past. But we have our thoughts on it. What does Paul Feinbaum, for example, think about the Brian Kelly hire? What do the national talking heads think about it? Well, Paul Feinbaum was on McElroy and Kublik in the morning, their radio show, and they asked Paul Feinbaum exactly that question. How do you feel about this Brian Kelly hire? How do you think it's been so far? Do you think it's a good thing for LSU? This is what Paul Feinbaum had to say.
I like the hire because Brian Kelly is one of the top 5 or 10 coaches in America. And I also like it because it's a significant upgrade from what LSU had. Listen, we all were there. We all know what LSU did under Ed Orgeron, but he was not a high quality coach. He was a guy who stumbled into the job because Les Miles was fired. He did enough to win. He had an athletic director who bungled the coaching search for his replacement, for Miles' replacement. And Orgeron did enough. He was a good recruiter, but he was a terrible organizer, and he was a terrible steward of the program. So from that standpoint, the program is in much better shape as far as the leader. You've heard the same things that we've all heard, that it's so much better organized. The structure down there, the vibe down there is different.
So a few thoughts on that. The structure, the vibe, the organization. I agree with what Paul Feinbaum has to say, because things do feel different under Brian Kelly. Things do feel more regimented under Brian Kelly. I think in the past, if you look at the Ed Orgeron regime, you know, things just felt a little, you know, a little bit too precalculated, no room for adjustments, just kind of felt like it was all thrown together and pasted together with glue. And it was very old school, just, you know, just kind of splatter painted against a canvas. Under the Brian Kelly regime, I don't think that, you know, anyone could argue that things are more calculated. Things just feel a lot more, almost like a mathematical approach to practice in this offseason so far. And that is absolutely Brian Kelly's doing, because that's the way that he does things. Like I said, the CEO of practice, the CEO of this football team, it's a very business-like approach. And I don't disagree that that's a better thing for the program. It's a better thing for the development of these players. It's a better way to be able to give your team the best win. Because when everything's all jumbled about, you don't really have a clear picture of exactly who your team is, who is the most talented, who gives you the best chance to win. So having a clear-cut, more organized way of going about it, absolutely, I cannot deny, is the truth. But I also kind of want to pump the brakes a little bit, because while I could look at it and say, so far so good, the most important thing is winning. Ed Orgeron did a good bit of losing at LSU. He won a national championship. And I'll be the first person to say it. It wasn't because of Ed Orgeron. It was because of the people he hired. It was because of the coordinators. And it was because he was able to step back and let the coordinators do their thing. It was because Ed Orgeron was able to get Joe Burrow to come to LSU, and he saw the talent in Joe Burrow that, you know, Ohio State didn't. It was because things just fell into place for Ed Orgeron. I'm the first person to admit that. That I don't know if Ed Orgeron could repeat another national title at LSU, because things just fell into place. And I didn't think that he was a good enough X's and O's coach to find continued success. It's not a knock on Coach O. I think that's just who he is. But he did win a national title. So I don't feel confident or comfortable enough to say, this is better. This is better, hands down better. Because the organization is better. And I can see that that gives you a more clear-cut and clear vision moving forward of how you can win with your football team. But I'm not going to sit up here and say that this coaching staff as a whole is better than what LSU has had in the past overall. Brian Kelly hasn't won anything yet. Wins do the talking. Wins solve a lot of different things. Winning solves everything. So while I feel comfortable and confident with this coaching staff so far, from what I've seen in the direction of this program, the organization of this program, I don't feel comfortable saying that, you know, hands down, this is, you know, the best move LSU could have done. They haven't won anything yet. Win a few games, get your butt into the SEC championship, be in the national conversation, win a national title, then we can talk. Just win first. That's all I ask. But that's going to do it for me today. I appreciate y'all for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On NFL Draft, where Ryan Tracy and former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker bring the NFL Draft to life every day with insight and analysis on college football prospects and NFL front offices. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. LSU baseball taking on UNO tonight. I have some thoughts on the weekend series against Missouri. I'll recap the game tonight and also preview their series against Georgia moving forward, because Georgia has been a very red hot team in the East, so they've got their work cut out for them coming up this weekend. I'll get into all of that plus some more tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Locked On LSU.